Hello, we're back with 10 Minutes of Talmud. Today, believe it or not, we're going to talk about what you could serve for Shavuot this year. So let's say our blessing and get on our way. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu V'asok B'divrei Torah. Okay, so it's traditional to serve milchik food on Shavuot. So, Blintzes, cheesecake, things like that. Nobody really knows why that tradition came to be. Some people suggest that it's because the land is described as flowing with milk and honey. Actually, we're going to do a text today that suggests a different menu plan, which probably is really going to make the carnivores happy. But first, let's back up and tell you a little bit about this text. Okay, so if we're talking in general about rabbinic literature, we're talking about something that basically has as its starting point the year 70, which is the destruction of the Second Temple. The destruction of the Second Temple creates an enormous vacuum in Jewish life. And things kind of just go from bad to worse once the Bar Kokhba revolt is defeated in around 135 CE. So into this blasted Jewish landscape come our sages, and they are kind of dancing as fast as they can to create a Judaism that doesn't depend so much on the temple, that people can do both in the land and outside of the land. So they make two basic categories of text. One is based on Mishnah, which then becomes the basis of Talmud. And that's probably what you're used to. It's a lot of do this, don't do that. You have three options for this, four options for that. It's the basis for both the Talmud of the Land of Israel, the Yerushalmi, and the Talmud of Babylonia, the Bavli. But then they make another kind of literature called Midrash. And they make Midrash collections on different books of Tanakh. The early Midrash collections are called Midrashei Halakha, which people usually translate as Halachic Midrashim. That's a real misnomer because it really doesn't have any more or any less to do with Jewish law, put that in quotation marks in your head, than any other set of Jewish texts. So it's a real misnomer and an unfortunate one at that, because it just leads people to the wrong conclusion. Okay, so the early Midrash collections, which is what I would rather call Midrashei Halakha. The early Midrash collections are these: Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael on the book of Exodus, Sifra on the book of Leviticus, Sifrei on the book of Numbers, and Sifrei to the book of Deuteronomy. These, you can say, pretty much are all finished around the year 300, 325, so pretty early. Mishnah is finished in 200. These are finished around 300, 325. Okay. So today our text is going to be from one of those early Midrash collections. And in this case, we're going to be looking at Sifrei to Deuteronomy. Sifrei to Deuteronomy is broken up into paragraphs called Pisgahs. And we're going to be looking at today Pisgah 37, a little bit closer to the end of it than the beginning of it. If you kind of want to key into where we are in this Pisgah, you can look for Jeremiah 3:19, or you can look for Deuteronomy 11:9. Okay, and this is a commentary, by the way, on it is a land flowing with milk and honey. All right, and what they do is they bring in this verse from Jeremiah that talks about how wonderful the land is. Okay, and this is Jeremiah chapter 3:19. Okay, and here it is. Va'anochi amarti ech ashitech babanim va'atein lach eretz chenda nachalat zitziv ot goyim va'omar abi tikri'ili me'acharai lo tashuvu. Okay, I had resolved to adopt you as my child, and I decided to give you the most beautiful of the beautiful lands, the best heritage of all the nations, and I thought you would surely call me father and never cease to be loyal to me. Now, the sages always think that every word of scripture is absolutely critical. Okay? So, they ask themselves about this funny phrase, tzvi tzivot. One of those words seems to be a little extraneous. So they're going to explain exactly why it isn't extraneous. Okay, and here we go. And now we're going to get to the recipe part. Nachalat tzvi. Matzvi zekal baraglav mikol behema. V'haya kach perot Eretz Yisrael kalim lavo mikol perot aratzot. Just as the deer is swifter of foot than any of the other animals, domestic or wild, so the fruits of the land of Israel are swifter to grow than those of any other land. Devar acher, a different interpretation. Matzvi zeh kesh'ata mashpito, Ein oro machazik et besaro, kach Eretz Yisrael, ein machazeket peroteha bisha'ah she'Yisrael osin et ha'Torah. Another interpretation, just as the hide of the deer, once separated from the flesh, cannot contain it, so also the land of Israel cannot contain all its fruits, so long as Israel is occupied with Torah. And I give you one more. Matzvi zekal le'echol mikol behema v'chaya, kach perot Eretz Yisrael kalim le'echol mikol ha'aretzot. And just as deer is the easiest to digest of all the domestic and wild animals, so the fruits of the land of Israel are easier to digest than those of any other land. So, how do we get to the recipe recommendation? Either serve only things that grow in the land of Israel or venison. Enjoy. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.